Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Unscripted Show, hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich. The studio line is 845-429-1700. Feel free to call in at any point during the Faith Unscripted program with any questions you may have for Pastor Rich. And as, of course, an added bonus, the first new caller on today's show will receive a $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, A Journey of Repentance, Renewal, and Return. Also, Pastor Rich will be getting a brand new puppy, a Bichon Frise, and it's a girl, and we want to hear from all of you out there to come up with a name for the puppy. And the winner gets to have dinner with the Faith Unscripted crew, so please give us a call down here at the station. The studio line is 845-429-1700. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one, the only, Pastor Rich.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being with us on Faith Unscripted. Either thank you for being back with us, or even thanks for being with us for the first time. Even before we went on the air today, the phone rang, and I got very excited because we love calls. And I thought it was one for us until Steve, who was answering the phone, said toothpaste, at which point I realized that probably toothpaste doesn't have much to do with Faith Scripted or Unscripted. Although it is morally a good thing to brush your teeth every day.
Yes. And we have a caller.
And we have a caller. So thank you for saving me from that pathetic opening. How can I help you? Hello?
Hi, Pastor Rich.
Hi, caller. How are you? What's your name?
How are you? It's Anna. I've spoken to you before.
Is this the coupon queen?
Yes, thank you very much for that.
Oh, Your Majesty, how are you? It's always good to hear from royalty.
To be a first caller to enter a name for the dog?
You are absolutely welcome to enter a name for the dog.
Okay, how about Heaven?
Oh, I'm sorry, say that again?
Heaven?
Heaven. Here, heaven. I can sort of hear it.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Anna. And we know your address. We know how to reach you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thanks for the call.
Take care.
So Heaven. I'm in heaven.
That's right. We have not only a name but a musical name.
That's
so
right.
Thank you very much. Please, anybody else call with your names for my new dog. And she is a cutie. Her picture is now on the WRCR website. And also, please call with your religious questions, because we are Faith Unscripted, not Name That Dog Unscripted. So let me just update you with a few things that are happening at the Clarkstown Reformed Church, where you're always welcome to join us on Sundays at 10:30 for our services, which are, now I'm a little biased, right, but truly beautiful, with beautiful music and wonderful people. So come at 10:30, stay afterwards for the afterglow, and enjoy being with people who love each other and who love God. And if your church is like that too, go there, because one of the most important things you can do as a Christian is pray, and pray not only personally and by yourself, but pray in community with others through worship. So please support your home church. And make sure you attend regularly, because it's important that you be there every Sunday. And as I thank the community who gathers at Clarkstown, I remind them that they, each person who comes, brings a unique experience of God that only they can bring us. So in a way, they show us an aspect. Each person who comes shows us an aspect of the face of God, and you do that at your church. So it's important that you get there, and if your pastor was here, he'd tell you that too, or she would tell you that too. At Clarkstown this evening, we are having a board meeting for Helping Hands of Rockland County, which is an interfaith organization formed years ago to help the homeless of Rockland County, to help them find homes, and to help alleviate their struggles. And so tonight the board is meeting, but there are some initiatives that Helping Hands has taken up that I think I'd like you to know about. One of them is a mobile shower. So we have ordered the Helping Hands, and I'm on their board along with Rabbi Kurland and Pastor Don Hoover from the Tappan Reformed Church. We've ordered a mobile shower. So it'd be pulled by a truck, and we will be able to take it to the places where the homeless gather or camp, and we'll be able to provide a time for them when they can take showers and feel more human again. So it's a great opportunity. When I was a pastor in Florida, we had mobile showers down there, and it was just a great opportunity to help people freshen up. And then after they had taken their showers, we had clothing that the people had donated. We were able to give them new clothes so they could be fresh and clean, and then we give them a meal, and it made their day. So the homeless are our neighbors. Right. I was thinking. Excuse me again. I was thinking as I was driving here today that it's important for us, as we think of the homeless, to think of them as neighbors, not as a social problem, but as human beings. Each one of them. Each one of them was once a baby who was the joy of his or her mother's and father's life. Each one of them was carried in a mother's arms. Each one of them had opportunities, and I don't know how they got where they got in the world today, but I know that we can never forget that they are nothing less than our brothers and our sisters. It's easy to depersonalize. It's easy to think of the homeless as a problem, even a smelly problem. But in fact, God gives us these people to love and to care for. And it's, in some ways, the quality of that care that determines who we are. It creates our own selves. If we're unkind to them, we become unkind people. But if we have a place for them in our hearts, Then we build ourselves as compassionate and decent folks. So Jesus taught a parable about neighborliness, right? And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And most people know it, but I'll just give you a thumbnail sketch in case you don't. Parables are stories that seem to be simple on the face of it. They're just common sense little tales, slices of life. But the purpose of a parable is to get you to think. The Greek word parable comes from the Greek words that form the English word parable, I should say, mean to throw something beside. It's throwing something beside you that jars you out of the path you're on to think about something in a fresh and new way. So in every parable, there's something very unusual that when the original hearer of the parable heard the story, they would say, that's strange. And the purpose of that strangeness is to get us to think. So the parables aren't there to be nice stories, not even uplifting stories. They're there to be stories that challenge us to think differently about our world. And so Jesus gives this parable of the Good Samaritan, and he tells the tale this way. He said, there was a man who was traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a dangerous road. It was a place where there were bandits and robbers. And so this man who's traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, he's attacked, he's beaten, he's robbed, he's left half dead. And then as the story develops, as Jesus develops the story, he said three people walk past. The first guy who comes past is a priest. Now, priests are holy people, right? Priests are intermediaries between God and his people. Priests in this culture give sacrifice. They're important in temple worship. So the priest is walking past. The priest is probably absorbed in prayer. The priest sees this guy, and what does he do? Because we're thinking now, this is the guy's lucky day. There's a nice guy walking down the road, but the priest sees him and walks on. Why does he do that? Why doesn't the priest help this man who's been left half dead? I mean, there are loads of decent reasons that he might have walked past. First, might be, I don't want to get involved. Right? The second might be, holy crow, whoever did that to him could do that to me. I better get out of here fast. Feet don't fail me now. Another reason could be, in the culture, touching a dead body would make you unclean, so he wouldn't be able to do his job. He wouldn't be able to be a part of worship. But we don't know the reason he walks past. We just know that he does walk past. And the original hearer of this story would think, you know, it's a slam dunk. The priest is going to help the guy. You know, here comes the good guys, the cavalry charging over the hill. But it doesn't happen that way. Think differently. The next guy who comes past is a Levite. They're pretty religious guys, too. They're from the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. So here's another religious guy. Here's another fellow who's probably praying as he walks. And here's another guy who sees the fella who has been left half dead and thinks to himself, let me shift into high gear and get the heck out of here. He might not have said heck, by the way. That leaves the guy left by the side of the road in a very bad situation. And to make matters worse, the next guy coming down the road is a Samaritan. Now, Jesus is telling this story to people who would think Samaritans are not terribly nice people. The Jews didn't think very highly of the Samaritans at the time, nor the Samaritans of the Jews. They were separated by history. There was a fissure in society, so that there was an us-them type of dichotomy that had been created. Samaritans didn't like the Jews, Jews didn't like the Samaritans, and that's just the way it was. So surely this Samaritan will not be any help to this Jewish guy who's lying by the side of the road. Except he is. He's the one who stops. He gets off his donkey, or whatever he's traveling on, and he goes over and he tends to the man's wounds. He helps him on his animal, takes him to an inn. He pays for a stay at the inn. He tells the innkeeper, take care of him, and when I return this way, I will pay you for anything that I owe you. Now, there is the crack in the story. There is the unusual aspect. The Samaritan wasn't supposed to be the hero of the story, but he sort of is. Intuitively, he is. Okay, so now you've got a bunch of pious Jewish listeners hearing this story about a Samaritan who helps a Jew. And Jesus asks the question, which of these men was a neighbor? Which of these men was a neighbor? And the answer, of course, is the Samaritan. And Jesus simply says, go and do likewise. Now, how does that help us? How does that help us when we think about the homeless in Rockland County? How does that help us when we think of other neighbors that we might have who, because of language or culture or skin color or national origin, may not fit into the us category when we divide things up between us and them? So the trick with this parable is to fill in our good Samaritan. Is it a good homeless person who helps someone who has been mugged and left penniless by the side of the road? Is it a good Hasidic Jewish brother or sister who stops and helps someone who is not part of his community? Is it a good Hispanic person who stops and helps someone left by the side of the road? Is it a good white person who stops and helps a person of color? Whatever our Samaritan is, the story that Jesus tells challenges us to forget our stupid differences and see that everyone is a brother and a sister and treat them accordingly. And we have a caller.
And we have a caller.
Caller, how can we help you?
Yes, good morning, Pastor Rich. It's Father Clem. It's
Father Clem, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a while since I called, but I wanted to let you know that I haven't missed a Tuesday sermon. I love you, and I tell everybody, my customers, my, you know, whoever I run into, you got to tune into this guy. You are so non-divisive, inclusive, loving, and all that good stuff. And I just appreciate your words of caring, of wisdom, and just everything about you. But more importantly for me, I'm going to be a little greedy. I got to ask you for a favor. I just left pain management. I got some trigger point injections in my left back shoulder area. Can you say a prayer of healing for me? It doesn't have to be now on the radio, but after the show. And maybe that guy could sing a song for me, too, you know, just for some extra love, because I could use any help right now.
Father Clem, wait a second, because we will pray right on the air, because what I'd like to do is ask everyone who's listening to pray with us. Because when we pray together, when we pray sharing the same intention, that prayer rises powerfully to God. So let's pray. And if you're listening, wherever you are, if you're in your car, if you're in your office, wherever you're listening, please pray along. Join this prayer for our brother who's asked for prayer. And so, Creator God, we lift up our brother Clem. We ask you to touch him with the healing love of your spirit. Be in his body, driving out pain, restoring, and making him whole. Creator God, let his suffering now be joined to the suffering of our Christ. And let that suffering become redemptive in the world. But beyond that, let that suffering end so that he might feel whole and healthy and at peace. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name and through the power of the Spirit with you there, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you once again, Pastor Rich, for that prayer and for the awesome show every week. You are a godsend to the station.
Oh, bless your heart.
Have a great day.
God bless Clem. Thanks. And please, if you're listening, please continue to pray for Clem this week. And let's hope next week he can call in and tell us how well he's feeling.
You got it. Thanks again, Pastor Rich. All the love.
God bless.
And you are listening to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Please check us out on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search for Clarkstown Reformed Church or check us out on our website at www.crcwestnyack.org. And just a quick reminder for everyone that the Clarkstown Reformed Church is now open for live services. So if you would like to meet Pastor Rich and the Faith Unscripted crew in person, come on down. Our services are held every Sunday starting at 10:30. Our address is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. And again, to ask any questions during today's program, please call our studio line at 845-429-1700. And we are asking folks for their ideas on what we should name Pastor Rich's new puppy, a Bichon Frise. The puppy is a girl, and we want you to name her. And the winner gets to have dinner with Pastor Rich and the Faith Unscripted crew. So please give us a call. Again, the number is 845-429-1700.
And if you were here looking at the Faith Unscripted crew and just instead of just listening to us, you would know that between Chris and I, you've got two foodies. So this dinner is going to be someplace really, really good.
And for the musical portion of today's program, we will play Lord Keep Me Day by Day featuring our great bass, Charles Carter. Enjoy.
Lord, keep me day by day in a pure and perfect way. I want to live. I want to live on. Built it not made by hand. road, so that I can do no wrong. Lord, give me grace just to run this Christian race in a building not made by hand. I'm just a stranger here, traveling through this barren land. Lord, I know there's a building somewhere, a building not made by hand.
There is the amazing Charles Carter, the bass baritone of the Clarkstown Reformed Church Psalm C Singers, and a man who I call the lowest person I know. Not because he is not wonderful, because he is, but because I have never heard the human voice go lower than Charles takes his voice. He is an absolutely gifted vocalist.
And Charles sang at the Metropolitan Opera as well.
Charles did sing at the, as a few of our guys have sung at the Metropolitan Opera. So we, you know, if America has talent, then heck, so do we. And you can hear them all for free, which is not the same that you can say of the Metropolitan Opera.
And just a quick reminder for folks that the $25 Visa gift card and autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book is still up for grabs to the first new caller. So please do give us a call down here at the station. Again, the number is 845-429-1700.
And you'd be doing an act of kindness, because it's the only way I can get rid of my books. Certainly, people are not buying them. But God bless us, we can give them away. And I just wanted to comment a bit on Charles' song, because one of the themes of that song is we're strangers here. You know, don't get too comfortable. Don't settle into the world, because we are called to someplace different and better. And those of us who have faith in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus are called to be holy. We're not called to blend in. We're not called to get everything we can for ourselves. I had a friend once, back years ago, when I was working at a law firm in Rochester, and she had a T-shirt that said, "The one who dies with the most stuff wins." And you see, that's not true, because the one who dies with the most stuff doesn't necessarily win anything. Their heirs might be very happy, but they themselves can't take it with them. None of the treasures that we treasure so much can follow us into that house not made by human hands. And so Charles's song reminds us of who we are. We're wanderers, we're pilgrims, we're strangers in this world. We're not called to blend in. We're called to be different. We're called to point the way to the Creator God who loves everyone and everything. I was praying before we came out, before we drove to the station today, and I played Bible Bingo. By the way, Real Bingo is coming to the Clarkstown Reformed Church in September, so save your money. But I was playing Bible Bingo, which means I opened the Bible and I just stuck my finger someplace. I wanted to see, and my prayer as I did this was, Lord, tell me what I need to tell people, because I want to say things that God wants me to say. I don't want to just be entertaining. If you think I am entertaining, some might not. But I got to John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that those who might believe in him might have eternal life. And I just want to unpack that verse for you, because the word God so loved the world, the Greek word used for world is the cosmos. And that verse it appears at baseball games and on lawns and signs. You know, people are, you know, passing out the verse on pieces of paper if they are inclined to do that. So it's a beloved verse. But what needs to be understood is that the word cosmos is not that pretty blue-green orb that you see on the posters. The cosmos in the Gospel of John, and that's where the verse is from, is the world at odds with God, the world in revolt against God. So Jesus elsewhere says, if the world has hated you, it's going to hate you. It's the world that puts Christ on the cross. So the world isn't a good thing. It's a way of expressing collectively the enemies of God, who are in active revolt against God's kingdom. And it is in that context that we need to hear this verse. God so loved his enemies that he sent his only son for them, that all of those enemies who turn to him, who hear his voice, who hear his call to repentance and reform, all of those might have eternal life. So the stakes with the religion of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus, it isn't power, and it isn't wealth in this world. The folks who are preaching the prosperity gospel are leading people astray. God could care less about your bank account. God cares about you. God cares about your spiritual well-being. He cares about you having eternal life. And there's only one thing he will not do for you. He will not force you to it. Because God, who gives us life, gives us freedom. And we need to use our freedom to turn to him and receive the gift that we could never earn ourselves. The gift of God's love, the gift of God's grace, the gift of salvation, the gift of a life that does not end. In my business, I do a lot of funerals. I do weddings too, but in some ways, funerals are more beautiful. A wedding is a time in a couple's life when they often could care. I mean, their mind is in the party. They're not necessarily focused on the religious moment, although there is a tremendously beautiful one to be had. A wedding is a moment of covenant. It's a moment where you create a whole new family in the sight and in the presence of God. So there's a beautiful thing there, but loads of people miss it because they're waiting for the cake to be cut. But funerals are very different because there's no fun at the end of a funeral to be looking forward to. Funeral is a time of sadness and grief and loss because somebody was there and isn't anymore. And so there's a hole in the hearts of many of the mourners. And you and I have probably, if you're old enough, we've all been there. We've all lost fathers and mothers and friends, maybe children. And in that moment of celebrating the life of one who is no longer with us, the most important thing that we can do, that I can do as a Christian minister, is say, it's not over. Jesus says to Martha in the I think it's the 10th chapter of the gospel where he's at the tomb of Lazarus, who is a good friend of his, Martha and Mary's brother. And he's died and he's been dead for 4 days. He's in the tomb. And Jesus goes to be with the mourners. And Martha says, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So she sort of wags her finger at Jesus and said, where the heck were you? What'd you wait so long to get here for? And Jesus says, your brother will rise. Martha says, I know on the last day he'll rise. But he says, no. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. those who live believing in me will never die. And those who die who have believed in me live. He says, do you believe this? And that's a question for all of us to answer, but at the funeral of a Christian person, man, woman, father, mother, whoever they were in our lives, the consolation of faith is, yes, they're no longer with us in bodily form, but if they've been united to Jesus in the likeness to his death, if they've been baptized, if they've become one with him, if they've embraced his message, then they will also rise with him. And we wait for that resurrection on the last day, but we also believe that life doesn't end at physical death, but continues, because the souls of the just, another scripture passage goes, are in the hands of the Lord, and no evil can touch them. And that's why I find funerals so beautiful, because they're reminders that we are strangers here, and sooner or later all of us will return to the Lord and find ourselves in that kingdom where the houses are not made by human hands. So thank you, Charles Carter, for reminding us of that in song this past Sunday at the Clarkstown Reformed Church. And come this week, if you'd like, and hear some more beautiful music that not only is well sung and played, but also music that will draw you, I hope, into the mystery of God's love.
And services are every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And our address is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York.
Another thing I'd like to talk about today, unless you'd like to call and
it's 845-429-1700. I had you.
Thank you. I was fumbling in my book for the number, and Chris came right along and saved me. But if you have anything you'd like to talk about, it's probably more interesting than what I'd like to talk about. But in the past day, I have been approached by two people who basically said, I'm tired of people telling me off. And when I hear all this negativity, it makes me feel bad about myself. And maybe they're right. One of my friends was saying, maybe I am all the terrible things that I'm being accused of by people who had been, you know, at one time important in my life and are now mad at me. And my response to that. And if you've ever felt that way, I'd like to say this to you too, is what people think of you doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Francis of Assisi, and I was a Franciscan priest for 13 years, Francis of Assisi said at some point, we are what we are in the eyes of God, nothing more. And I might add, nothing less. So if somebody says something negative to you about you, or if they say something negative behind your back about you, it may hurt to know that they've done that. But let me suggest that you don't need to believe anything they say. I mean, if I said to you, your green hair looks absolutely ridiculous, and you know your hair isn't green, then why would you believe anything I say about you? I see we have another call.
We have a caller.
And I'm sure you're going to ask for something that's more interesting than my line of chatter. So save me. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. So I didn't come with the name of your dog, but... I think since dogs are very, very sensitive, I have one of my own, dogs know when you love them or you don't, okay?
Uh-huh.
I think the dog's name should reflect affection and love. The dog will know it. He may not understand English or whatever language you're talking to him, okay, but he would know if he's included, if he's loved, he's cared for. And what's the best way of doing it? By naming them with something which is dear and loving, okay? This is my only suggestion that I can come. And as far as the name itself, all the best.
Well, do you have any suggestions?
No, this is something very, very personal. If I were you, I would talk to the member of the family and ask him to keep in mind if they really want to welcome a new member to the family, because having a dog or any pet for that matter is a big responsibility. It's not a toy that you just have and you dump when it's take some, some responsibility. There's a lot of responsibilities there, not less than taking a child. The difference between a child grows to be an adult. A dog is always a child. And you have to be ready for that, okay?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not right to have a dog, in my opinion. But as I said initially, let your family try to think about something, and I don't care what it is. It could be something serious, cute, or whatever, okay? As long as it is something that sounds loving and caring, okay? And as a clergy, I know exactly, I know that you know what I'm talking about.
I do, and I really appreciate this. My family is just me, so
well,
I miss. But okay. I do have another dog and a cat.
Okay, well, it's okay. You know, what about some friends that are close to you, some family members that are close to you, somebody that you feel close to? Maybe there's some ideas and suggestions. It has to. You have to feel it. That's the only thing I can say. You know, if you feel it, if you welcome the dog, or the pet, for that matter, the pet will know that he is welcome. If you don't, well, it's a whole different story. Well, I hope you bought the pet or the dog home because he's important to you, and you care for him, and you want to give him the best possible life that is possible. Because in the end, he's dependent on you 100%.
That's true.
He will not survive without you, okay? And it's easier if you care for an animal, and that, for that matter, for a human being.
No, I really appreciate that. As you were speaking, and you didn't give me a name, but I thought of one. Who is the Jim Backus character on Gilligan's Island? What was the name of that guy?
Oh, I don't remember.
The millionaire. His wife, he always called his wife Lovey.
Oh, that guy.
So,
listen, if you like it, that's what it should be. You know?
Well,
you should go with what you feel comfortable with. You don't want to pick something that you kind of grind your teeth every time when you call him. No, it should come from your heart.
Thank you very much, and it will. It will, and I appreciate. Please leave your name, because I've given you Lovey as the name. So if
no, it's okay. You know what? If it comes, I would like you to use the proceeds for your congregation.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, God bless you.
Okay, be well. Bye.
God bless.
Thank you
Bye
very
now.
Much.
And we've got another
we
caller.
Got another caller.
Boy, oh boy,
go.
Boy.
Yes, I have a suggestion for the name Savior.
Savior. Very good. We could do that in a number of different languages, too. I had a
right.
friend who called his dog Bhakti.
Okay.
And Bhakti is Sanskrit for Fido, which is Greek for faithful. Or Latin,
right.
I guess, for faithful. So so Savior is a great name. Thank you so much.
Right,
Leave your name so that we can...
No, just give it to charity or something like that.
Oh,
help
bless
other
your,
people.
But see, I want to take myself to dinner, too. So, I mean, it's...
You could, oh, me charity.
As well.
That would be a charity.
Help the homeless
Chris
do something like that.
Thank
give
you.
Give it to the homeless. Thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much,
you
and
for
God
calling.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Savior.
Savior's great.
So we got Heaven, Savior...
We have Frenchie, Heaven, and Noel, and Lovey.
That's right,
Lovey. So we're doing, and the little dog, I don't have the dog yet. She's coming home on the 23rd, so we'll be able to put some pictures of her in her new home.
Oh, nice.
We'll want a name by the 23rd.
Yeah, of course.
She'll be upset if she doesn't have a name.
Right.
I would be. So just back to the negativity of people. One of the great things we can do just for each other, is fight against the negativity that is so prevalent. I mean, it's so easy to be cutting and harsh, but it's also easy to be friendly, nice, and kind. So soften your words. You know, speak gently to people. The word care comes from the Greek word kara, I think it is, kara, which means to cry with, to cry out with. So when we care, we cry out with those who are crying. So who is it who needs our tenderness? Because to care for somebody is to touch with embracing love the lives of those who are touched harshly. Who's being pushed around? Who's being treated negatively? We got to stand with them. It's to listen to people who don't get listened to. You know, there are loads of people who are just stinking ignored. We can't be those ignoring people. You know, one of the great, if you're in school, although if you're in school, you're probably not listening to this show because you're in school. But if you're in school, sit with the kids who nobody is sitting with. Be nice to the kids who are for some reason shunned because they're different. I have a great niece who has Turner's syndrome. It's a chromosomal deficiency, and it's not terrible, but it makes her not the same as the other kids. I mean, there's a little learning disability, and she's shorter than the other kids and stuff. But she's like an old soul. She's kind and she's good and she's fun, but she's also not befriended by the kids in her school. So she just graduated, and there's no one to go to her party. Now I'm throwing a party for her at the church, because her niece, my other stepdaughter's baby, is being baptized in July, and we're going to have a party for the baptism and for this other little girl. Her name is Katrina, for Katrina's graduation, and you know, I just love doing that because it's a way of letting her know that people do care about her. Loads of the people in the church are going to come. And they'll be with her and support her. That's what we need to do. We need to listen to the ones who are unlistened to. We need to touch the ones who are untouchable. We need to embrace the ones who are not embraced by the world. And that's how we show we're different. That's how we show we care. We need to be present to those who need us. And you know who that is. You know, put down your device. You know, turn off the iPad. Put down the iPhone or whatever phone you have. Turn off the television set. Get rid of electricity for a few minutes. And just be with the people who you love. And be there to be there. Just be present. No agenda. Nothing to say. Just be unscripted, because when you are unscripted, God can give you the script, and it will flow from you, but it will be His script. And one of the other things I wanted to talk about today is that yesterday was Flag Day. And Flag Day is a day to remember the symbol of our nation, that from the beginning, with that 13 stars, 13 stripes flag, that flag has flown over this nation in difficult times, in good times, through times of prosperity, through times of change, and people have staked their lives on that flag, which is why it's important, I think, for us to honor it. And to honor the men and women through time who have saluted it and who have served it and who have risked their lives under it. And so our last song today is going to be the Star Spangled Banner, sung by our Psalm C singers. And as we sing it, as we play it, I want to dedicate that song to every person at the Clarkstown Reformed Church from 1750 on who has served that flag, because we have people who have served in the Revolution, in the War of 1812, in the Civil War, and in the great wars of the last century, World War I and World War II. They've served that flag with honor, and we must honor it still. Never, ever take a knee, but put your hand over your heart and salute the flag that represents the greatest nation and the most liberty that this world has ever known. So a special shout out to our current Marine in the congregation, Don Mullane, and to Bruce Engelke, who we lovingly call Bruce the Moose.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, the speed is there when freemen shall stand between desolation, blessed with victory and peace. May the hand rescued land raise the power that God made and reserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this is our motto.
Thank you very much, Psalm C Singers from Clarkstown Reformed Church, for that beautiful rendition of the first and fourth, I believe it is, verses of the Star Spangled Banner. And I wanted everyone to hear that fourth verse because it's striking that from the very beginning there was a connection between the causes of this nation and justice. That connection has not always been perfect. But our revolution was fought to give liberty, and it did. It gave the greatest liberty to the greatest number of people who have ever lived. Our Civil War was fought to end slavery, a blight on this nation and on the world, but a blight in which all sorts of folks were complicit. The black tribes in Africa sold their enemies into slavery. The Arabs, the Muslim Arabs, created the slave trade with the English who brought the slaves over here, and we had the cotton planters and the tobacco planters who used those slaves for cheap labor. All of it was terrible, but no one's hands are clean. However, this nation lost more than a million young men in a war to end slavery and to remove the impediments that slavery created in the lives of those who were enslaved, and to remove the struggle also of the nation that needed to learn how to live with even greater integrity, and to live into the liberty that our founding fathers intended for us. This is a great nation. It is now in peril again. And those who are evil would divide us, using the fault lines that they see in our society. We must oppose them. And it is the privilege of Christianity and the privilege of Judaism to call people beyond the divisions that the world's evil rulers would use to destroy this country. We are one, not many. We are not victims and victimizers. We are brothers and we are sisters. We can't change the past, but we can make the present better so that the future will be brighter. And that's where we should work, hand in hand, across the fault lines, across the lines of religion, across the lines of race, across the lines of culture, seeing all our differences not as impediments, but as ways that we can enrich each other. And then remember, this must always be our motto: in God do we trust.
Thanks for tuning in to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Don't forget to catch us here every Tuesday right after the 10 o'clock news, only on WRCR AM 1700.